Welcome to the new reality edition of Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, where we serve you the first bite of today's science, technology, and innovation. I'm Bert Lum. And of course, on today's show, we're talking to Roger McKeag. He's a CEO, and Wes Akamine, he's a director of operations over at Olelo Community Media. And we're talking about the evolving world of public access television, media literacy, and technology. And I'm really happy to have both Roger and Wes on the show. Welcome to Bite Marks Cafe.
Thank you. It's great to join you, Bert.
Yeah, great to have you guys both on. And Roger, I guess we had you on maybe a couple of years ago, but you know, the world of technology and media is changing so rapidly, and I think we need to have you on a little bit more often. But you know, just so that people kind of get a level set, maybe just kind of tell us a little bit about, you know, what created the PEG and PEG stands for, you know, public education and government, and what basically created that, and maybe go through what community media is all about.
Well, I guess we'd go back to the 60s and 70s, and really it was when cable TV was first coming out, and a lot of people recognized that it was providing a way, especially here in the islands, we knew this, that broadcast TV could only get to certain places. If you were in Kailua, you might not be able to catch much. I remember being in Kailua, and as a kid, some of the three channels, really, were coming through via Maui. Actually, we had a better signal. But what they found is that this cable, you could actually get a lot more TV to a lot more people, and it was sort of democratizing access to that information. And so the government kind of recognized that would be a really good idea, that information be available to more people, and that local is actually very important in communications for everyone. And so they created these community access televisions, stations, to allow people in the community to be heard while they're also getting some of this information through these, at that time, the new technology.
And Roger, I mean, you know, you're absolutely right about how this has, you know, the enabling of channels to be now shared with the public, and the public being able to create content. And your facility over at Mapunapuna has always been a place for people to learn about how to actually create content. And so that serves a great purpose. But how has that evolved over the time that Olelo's been around? And if you look at it in 2024, I mean, you guys do quite a bit of stuff that maybe people don't even realize is work that you do, whether it's supporting government, and government being state government, you know, the city and county, maybe talk a little bit about some of the things that maybe go unseen.
Well, I think that we actually do such a diverse amount of media. And as you speak about 2024, well, everyone is now aware that we have our four cable channels, which run 24/7. But because of it, of all the other ways you have of distribution now, we're also on our website, we're on our app, mm-hmm. we're on the different YouTube channels. Mm-hmm. We distribute through all kinds of different channels, including things like, you know, Twitch for kids, because that's where they're getting their content from. And so one of the strengths that Olelo has right now is that we've continued to evolve so that what we're distributing goes like almost everywhere.
You know, I also see your crew at a number of various sort of events and government events. Wes, as director of operations, I mean, are you having to schedule people for all these kind of activities that are popping up? And what kind of goes on in terms of your resource and scheduling for supporting, you know, whether it's city and county of Honolulu or state of Hawaii?
Yeah, actually, it's quite a logistical undertaking. But what it really is that Olelo wants to take all of our staff that are doing the wonderful work out there in the community, and we also want them to be trainers and mentors and engage. So a lot of what we do behind the scenes is what we call pre-production, mm-hmm. which is really community get their projects and their speech and their information up off the ground and onto the air. And some of the other things that we do on the in the background is we make sure that we validate the speaker. About 98% of what you see on the Olelo channels is actually community owned, and it's very and we're looking for the authentication of the speaker. So that way that the other half of the people that are engaged in PEG Access know who's speaking and can make informed decisions on the information that they're getting.
Wes, I mean, you know, that process that you go through to authenticate, you know, you folks are pretty much First Amendment. I mean, it's like free speech, right? How do you determine what actually gets on the air and what doesn't get on the air?
Actually, everything goes on air. We do not editorialize anything, but what we do require is that there is no anonymous speech. Unlike other platforms that don't check their users, and you could really put in any name, Olelo goes through and does a check to make sure that you are the person that's speaking, and then we tie that person to the programming on air. So each one of the shows up there has an end slate that the community can actually contact for more information about the show that they've seen.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. That's authenticating, you know, the speaker so that it's not you can't hide behind some veil of anonymity. Hey, Roger, you know, the typical funding model for the community access was primarily through the cable cut on a cable franchise fees, right?
Correct.
And how do you see that kind of evolving?
Well, I mean, there's plenty of data showing across the country that as people start using more and more of the streaming platforms, from Roku to Amazon and everything, you know, the Fire Sticks and everything else, that people are cutting the cable. They're not using traditional TV cable anymore. They're getting their content elsewhere. And our funding is directly tied to the fees associated with the franchises of those cable companies. So what's been happening is across the country, and it's now starting to happen here in Hawaii too, those franchise fees are declining. And so community access television like us, we're having to find ways to continue to do the great work we do, but find other ways to fund it.
Right.
And that includes actually a lot of the work we've done with government for so long. There's actually ways that we can get funding for those government committees and legislatures and the city and county. And we're talking with those in government we support with how we're going to partner more in the future so that we can find other means of basically paying for what we do.
Yeah, and you know, again, it's really important work, and funding is an important resource to keep it all, you know, keep the lights on.
Well, you know, something else you mentioned that reminds me of the post office, frankly, is, you know, throughout our history of the U.S. in any event, you know, the Constitution actually provided Congress the power to establish post office and post office roads. In order to encourage the ability to communicate. They said, you know, we can't have this sort of government without full communications. And so over the years, though, U.S. Post Office has had lots of troubles. You know, they had to adapt to make sure they could stay relevant. And most recently, with all the email, they were in a lot of trouble. I like to suggest that without Amazon, they would have been done. And COVID, frankly, helped them as well. But through the years, they've had to go from Stagecoach to Pony Express, automobiles, motorcycles, you know, airmail. And we're having to change our way that we do business so we continue to be at the forefront of providing that vital service and communications that we provide.
You know, that's really a very important consideration. And you know, I do want to give Wes a chance to tell us a little bit about the youth exchange and topics like media literacy, because I think a lot of the focus now is also on, you know, getting youth more up to speed with the capabilities as well as the ability to create, you know, good content. So we'll hold that thought. We'll be right back at this short break to continue our conversation about community television with Roger McKeague, CEO, and Wes Akamine, Director of Operations over at Olelo Community Media. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor Honolulu Waldorf School.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Bert Lum. And if you're just joining us, we're talking to Roger McKeag, CEO, and Wes Akamine, Director of Operations at Olelo Community Media, about the evolving world of community access television, media literacy, and technology. Right before the break, I want to give Wes a chance to share a little bit about the Youth Exchange. I mean, this is something, it's like an annual event, right? And obviously, what youth are kind of like the future of media. What is it that you see as being kind of the key objective in terms of, you know, the whole program, Youth Exchange?
Well, thank you, Bert, for the opportunity. Actually, if I go back and kind of tell the origins of why we started Youth Exchange, I think we've really kept with that mission. So it's kind of strange. So all of your listeners get to hear this little story about how it started, but Youth Exchange isn't spelled correctly. It's actually Youth Times Change. So when we first started the Youth Exchange video competition, it was a way to give youth a way to have a say in social context and issues-based areas, topics. So the first couple of years of Youth Exchange, all of the competition categories were issue-based. And with that, over the next 21 years, we've basically kept with that mission of letting the youth actually have a say in what they think, a voice in what they think change could look like to make the community and the world a better place. So we've maintained that through our video competition, and about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, we decided that we were going to take it to the next level. And we're continuing with the awards banquet, but we've actually added a new component called For Youth, By Youth, which really means that after 20 years, a lot of the youth have shown that they are completely capable of the production and other aspects of the actual banquet. So the last 2 years, the students have actually been the cameraman, the director, the technical switcher, the audio operator, for the actual banquet, and it's all really focused around moving towards workforce development and making sure that we can keep a skill set of locals on the island and be able to afford living on the island.
Now, you know, in terms of the kind of content, the kind of product the Youth Exchange does, how would you characterize it? Is it newsy, news kind of stories? I mean, what is it that they're producing?
Oh, it's everything. It's everything from PSAs on recycling all the way to mini documentaries on water rights in certain areas. It really covers the entire gambit. It leaves it up to the students to choose what they feel is important moving forward.
Now, do you see a similarity with, you know, PBS's Hiki no? I mean, it sounds kind of similar.
It is, but it's not at all.
Okay.
And it is nothing against PBS. That is a wonderful product. But it's a little bit different in the sense that it's really the voices of the youth being able to say what they want to say. And like PEG Access and any of the content that we receive from the community, we don't editorialize it. What you're really seeing is the students in the community's voice and impact on issues.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. And I've been meaning to come out and check out the, you know, the awards there. And it's an annual event, right? But do you have content that is produced by this program that's regularly aired?
Thank you for asking that, Bert. Yes, we're rolling that out. A lot of the schools and DOE and private schools have asked for many competitions that actually happen along the year. So we're always reaching out to sponsors and other community organizations to partner to for judges and for that content to be able to make an impact.
Well, you know, this kind of allows me to dovetail into another topic that I think both of you are very closely aligned with. And Roger, maybe you can speak at a high level of what you envision this idea of media literacy being. And I would imagine media literacy is not just for youth. I mean, it's for anybody that wants to leverage this facility to create content. So what do you want to convey in terms of, you know, awareness around media literacy?
Well, I'm going to use that to springboard into another space, which is really about, for, you know, decades, Olelo has been teaching media, and we never use, and I think it's our friends over at the libraries have been kind of doing the same thing. We've been teaching media literacy without ever calling it that.
Mm-hmm.
In order to teach media training, how to tell stories and all these things, you really are creating educational content for adults and kids that teaches them how to use computers, how to use cameras, how to do things that basically require media literacy. And so we've been trying to make sure we use those words so some people who don't know what we do can understand better that that's another part of what we do. And this dovetails a little bit with what Wes was saying earlier about the students finding the stories or the type of content they want to produce. Where we're really getting to now is communicating with those in government, those in commerce, those in industry, and finding out what kind of content they need, and then joining the two so that you now have students working with all these content needers, if you will,
mm-hmm.
and we can actually help bridge a place where our youth and adults are finding ways to start working for organizations because they need their content.
How do you see, as Olelo, the organization, helping mentor people through this process of media literacy or even media competence, right? Because you're not only allowing people to understand what the media is maybe feeding them, but you're very much involved with having them create their own media, right? So, you know, this media competency, how do you get them engaged? What is the program like for somebody to now get involved with Olelo's media literacy program?
So I got that one,
ways.
Roger.
Yeah, go ahead, but there's so many ways.
But baseline, it would be you would come into our classes first, and you would get engaged with the production process, which, like Roger was saying, is the beginning of that media literacy engagement.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then after that, Bert, it really is what you just said. They can make mentor sessions with our staff to work through production hurdles. And that's kind of what the sweet spot is. It's not like a class that you sit in and it's not specific to your needs. You can come into Olelo, sit down with one of our staff, and actually work on specifically your project to get it on air.
Yeah, you know, Olelo is such a major resource that we have here on Oahu. And, you know, there's other public access stations that are representative of our neighbor islands. And I'd love to get your guys' view on how do you interact with them? How does the stuff that you guys learn as a result of being here on Oahu and having such a big marketplace, how does that translate to some of our neighbor island pegs? So we'll hold that thought. We'll be right back after this short break to continue our conversation with Roger McKeag, CEO, and Wes Akamine, Director of Operations over at Olelo Community Media. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor Ulupono Initiative.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe. I'm Bert Lum, right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR 1. And if you're just joining us, we're talking to Roger McKeag, CEO, and Wes Akamine, Director of Operations over at Olelo Community Media. Talking about the evolving world of public access, television, media literacy, and technology. And right before the break, talking about media literacy and kind of the services that Olelo offers. to basically anyone who has a real conscientious effort and desire to create content. There's all kinds of resources that are available, and you know, I applaud you all for, you know, the not only the back office systems that get content put on the air, but you know, having all the facility that help people kind of get up to speed with their sort of media competencies. And you know, given the fact that I think Olelo is probably the power horse here in the islands, how do you, Roger, sort of share that or relate any of the lessons learned and best practices with some of the sister pigs? You got Hoʻike on Kauai, you have Akaku on Maui, and you have Naleo on Hawaii Island. And those are all kind of like, you know, they're all like Olelos, right? But a little bit smaller in terms of capacity.
True. So what we work together, and we've been working more and more to try to find ways to help each other. I mean, clearly we're here on Oahu, so our ability to record and distribute so much of the state government activities is right here in our backyard. I mean, we're hardwired to the state capitol. Mm-hmm. We are hardwired to county council. And, you know, so when something's happening, we're best able to get it out there quickly. I mean, the governor has used us extensively for getting the word out with all that happened on Maui, for example. And we partnered with Akaku on Maui during that whole season. I mean, we sent up, talk about connectivity, people don't realize, we, that very weekend after the fire, we already had sent up one of our satellite-connected internet provision satellites that works with just by plugging in, turning on. So that they would have better connectivity on Maui. And we all worked together as partners to do the vigil after the fires that was a statewide event in which we all, on every island, worked together and did live broadcast. I'll use cablecast as the correct term. But we were able to do dawn, midday, and sunset on every island all together as one show.
That's amazing.
And we actually... it was picked up by the mainland as well.
And, you know, when you think about the actual technical detail of making something like that happen, again, that's another non-trivial exercise. You know, all
Correct.
The coordination, all the communication links, all the programming that needs to be coordinated, you know, that's a major undertaking. And, of course, Wes, was you, right?
I was part of the team, Bert. I gotta say that we had a group of about 7 to 12 staff, not only here but across the islands, on Maui, on Molokai, all over the place, all pitching in.
Yeah, and I you know, it was a quite a major undertaking, and I'm really impressed. Now, Wes, I know you love this topic, and we have a little bit of time to talk a little bit about new tech that might get incorporated into some of the work that you guys do. And what do you envision? How does AI play a role in what Olelo and the content that you folks put on the air? How would you envision using AI?
Wow. Bert, I don't know if we have enough time left in the show. I mean, almost everything. I think on a basic level, we've got to really, and if we're going to be the technical lead and help people engage this kind of technology to make creation of media easier, it's going to happen everywhere, from writing scripts and content using AI to gather research data, all the way down to using AI in things like Adobe to edit, where you can actually just tell it, I want it to edit on these things. I think it's really coming down to any technology that's out there, Olelo will always find a way to engage it in creating media and pass it on to the community so that everyone benefits from the engagement of technology.
Do you see a lot of use in terms of the generative AI, where you know there's video now, you can give it a prompt you know, as far as what you would like to see in a image or in a video, and it will go ahead and the AI will go ahead and generate that. Do you see that being potential content that then gets aired on Olelo?
Okay, Bert, that one's kind of opening up what we would call a can of worms.
Right.
Yeah, and AI is kind of breaking down that wall. Mm-hmm, so from a talent standpoint and from a creative standpoint, there is a large amount of discussion on how AI is going to change the landscape moving forward.
Yeah,
you know,
no,
I want to jump in too, Bert, just say another piece of AI that we're using already now is in some of the meetings we cover, using AI to create the transcripts and the summaries and actually being able to search through those meetings using AI so that we don't have to spend so much time having someone physically type it up.
You know, there are, and I'm just learning this as well, these transcription capability of some of these applications that can take an audio file and do exactly what you just described, which is summarize, provide a bulleted response to what were some of the key points talked about. And to your point, Roger, you know, with all the content that you currently have, you know, it's one thing to watch the whole, let's say, public hearing, but it might be even faster to get to the information that you want to if it's already summarized and bulleted.
Yeah, with bulleted, chaptered, it's all very much be much more transparent because you don't have to sit for 6 hours to find it.
Now, do you see Olelo just doing that as a, I don't know, courtesy to the benefit to the, you know, the content creator? Or do you see a requirement to, you know, have more funding to actually enable that kind of capability to support the content that gets aired on Olelo?
Well, I would say it's certainly a value add in a space where it's also a cost add because it costs to do these things. AI doesn't come free. I think that's one of the conversations. It's amazing the technology it can bring, but we also have to be conscientious about, I'll call it checking. How good is it doing?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know?
And who's your chief information or chief technology officer?
That would be Todd Yamamoto.
Okay. And this is something that you folks encourage to look at the new tech.
Yeah, I actually am using it in my normal daily meetings that I hold with people I meet with virtually or in person.
You know, this is great, and I want
we're playing with it.
No, good. I do want to, you know, continue this conversation. I know there's a lot of new tech coming out, and I think, as I have always felt, Olelo is a major platform for the community to get access to. Roger, where can people find out more about Olelo Community Media?
You can go to our website at www.olelo.org.
Very good. Roger McKeag is the CEO, Wes Akamine, the Director of Operations over at Olelo Community Media. Hey, I want to thank you both for joining me today.
Thank you.
All right. Right on. And of course, thank you for listening to Bite Marks Cafe. Join us next week when we'll talk about art and tech over at FestPack. If you miss any part of this edition, you can find the podcast of tonight's show on bitemarkscafe.org. And of course, our engineer is David Chong. You can catch us on HBR One every Wednesday or anytime via the HBR app or your favorite podcast application. In the meantime, you stay safe, you stay awesome. We'll see you next week on another edition of Bite Marks Cafe.